This week, we take another look at direct primary care. You might recall we did an episode this summer, I think back in July, with Brent Russell on the business side of direct primary care. My guest today is actually Dr. Nguyen. She is the medical director at their Alliance Clinic. And on this episode, we really get into the clinical side of what direct primary care is, weight management, how they address chronic disease management, and a lot of different things around that. I think you're going to enjoy this episode. So go ahead, subscribe now, and share with a friend. Enjoy. Dr. Nguyen, thanks for coming on.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. So we, this summer, did an episode with Brent Russell on DPC Healthcare and call it the business side of it. Wanted to have you on to talk more about the patient experience, weight management, different things like that. So I appreciate it. I'll jump right on in. What is, I guess, preventive health and primary care from your perspective?
Well, I think, Matt, preventive health is something that I'm very passionate about since I've been in residency. I find that if we actually prevent our health, then doing the right thing, then patients will not have to take medicines, or if they're on medicines, can get off of medicine. And our goal at DPC Healthcare is to optimize our patients' health, to get them to lose weight, get off medicine. Overall, when, to be honest, my goal for all my patients is to, when they're in the 70s or 80s, just taking some vitamins and enjoying life, traveling the world, not being in a wheelchair with like 20 or 50 medicines that's on their list. So that's our ultimate goal. So we want to start a patient when they're younger to help them prevent those diseases.
Yeah, I like it. So is that predominantly done through like exercise and what you're eating, or how do you guys go about doing that?
So it's an overall approach. So with our patient, when they come in, we do an executive physical. So even if you're healthy, you don't have any diseases or anything, we still do your executive physical. Anybody who's above age 40, we do an EKG to make sure that we know your baseline heart condition. And then we do all your labs. So which include like your cholesterol, your CBC, your A1C to screen for diabetes, screen for cholesterol, screen for thyroid, vitamin D deficiency. And then we also do a body composition, which is something that's really important that for many years, the doctors tend to just go over their BMI, which is body mass index, their height and their weight. But somebody who's more muscular, who goes to the gym all the time, has a lot of muscles, their BMI may be high, but that doesn't mean that they're overweight or obese. They may be just unhealthy, but they have a little fat. So with that, our clinic does a body composition, which scan the person's percent body fat, percent muscle mass, water retention, is their weight mainly from retaining water, eating too much salt, or do they have heart failure that caused them to retain water, or they have kidney failure that retain water. So therefore, the machine helps us determine that, and it's very, very accurate. So some of my patients says, hey, I'm healthy. I don't really, I only go to see the doctor once or twice a year, but really after they do your body composition, they may not be taking any medicine, but if they're, that we call it skinny fat, their body composition may be normal, but their percent body fat is high and they don't have much muscle mass, their risk of having osteoporosis as they get older, their risk of being in a wheelchair, using a cane as they get older is much, much higher than those who have more muscle mass. So with that being said, our clinic, the way we kind of help prevent patients' health is by doing an executive physical, help patient determine where they at are in their life and where they are with their health. Is it optimized? So where we talk about lab that are being normal, right? So for example, vitamin D is a very important vitamin that we kind of don't know really how important it is, but it's important for bone, for health function, for energy, all these things. But, if the normal range is between 20 to 100, for example, but optimal is between 50 to 80. And patients just think when we go to a general doctor, you get your blood I generally don't even check your vitamin D, but if they do, they're saying, oh, it's in the normal range at 20, but really it's not optimized. So what our goal for our clinic, for our patient is to preventive health, not just like, hey, your lab's in the normal range. It's not optimized yet. What can we do to optimize your health so that when you're in your 80s and your 90s, you're still enjoying life, still traveling the world, still doing what you want to do and not be refined to a wheelchair or having to use cane or walker to get around. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense. So you gave some examples there. So I come in, look pretty healthy. I do the executive physical. You tell me I'm skinny fat and that I eat too much candy. What happens next?
We have physical therapy in-house. And then so we give you a nutrition plan. So after I evaluate you and then we kind of determine where you stand on your health plan. And then we help determine, okay, what type of food would be good for you? What kind of exercise would be good for you? For example, if you are skinny fat, you're not eating too much. You're not eating enough protein. You're eating too much carbohydrate or you're not like I have a lot of bikers who bicycle a lot, but they're really they don't have much muscle mass as compared to their peers, their age, and for other men or other women their age, their height, even though they're very active, but they don't have much muscle mass on them because they don't do any strengthening exercise. So they could still be weak when they get older. So with that being said, I would usually recommend them to eat better. So a higher protein, lower carbohydrates generally are modal. We kind of help guide them, give them a food plan. And then also we have physical therapy. Even though she does physical therapy, but she also help our patient have a exercise plan. So how many days of like biceps you need to do or triceps, what kind of exercise. And then depending on the body composition, it determines, for example, some of my patients will have higher muscle mass on their right arm versus their left arm because they use their right hand a lot more. And so then we kind of help, okay, you maybe do want to do a little bit more exercise on your left to kind of balance out the muscle mass. Same thing with their legs. Some guys have like very skinny legs, but a really big upper body because they do a lot of weightlifting and not much legs. So that kind of what we do is kind of help evaluate to see where they stand and then get them to move to a proper, a good position to where their overall balance, I guess is a term.
Yeah. So they're not skipping leg day.
Yeah.
All right. So like all of that makes total sense. Let's get, I guess, somewhat into the weeds. So like a normal primary care visit is 5 to 15 minutes maybe that you might actually see the physician. All this sounds way more in depth. How long are you typically seeing a patient? What does that look like?
So because we're, like I said, direct primary care, so we're really focusing on the patient as a whole. So we don't schedule a lot of patients in a day so that we have more time for our patients. So executive physical may take from an hour to an hour and a half because you were getting your blood work drawn at the same day and we get the result in the same day. We go over the result with you in the same visit. So we need a lot more time. And so the visit could be up to an hour and a half. But on an acute visit, it could take up to 30 minutes. It just kind of depends on what the needs are. But generally in a wellness visit, it takes longer because we have more time so that we can have more time to for the patient to ask us questions, to go over all the detail of their health plan, because we can't really do that in 5 or 10 minutes. So we give our patients as much time as they need. So some of our patients come in with a list of questions of like, no, I have back pain, neck pain, or, I want to ask about this and that. We give the patients enough time. We don't just say, okay, come in. You can only ask one question or two questions, then that's it. You cannot ask if you're depressed. You can't talk about your depression. You can
two
only talk about your headache, right? So So we are very open to that. We want to take care of patient as a whole. So
awesome. I mean, we've picked on skinny fat people and leg day enough. Tell me about like weight loss surgery and somebody coming in that may is diabetic or has hypertension. I watched some of the videos and you guys are doing some interesting things there. And so somebody that comes in and is on a number of different prescriptions and might be diabetic. What are some of the things you guys have done for them?
So we have, so I'm not against weight loss surgery at all. I think they're great for people who are in need of them. So there's a set of plateau. The weight loss program, there's going to be so much that we can do, right? Mm-hmm. With eating right, exercise, weight loss medicine, lifestyle change. But then weight loss surgery plays a big role into that. But usually what I'll do with my patient is that, say, when they come in and they are, so this is, Matt, I'm going to answer it in two different questions, because one is the surgery and one is you're asking about chronic disease.
Yeah.
So talk about the surgery first. So I did have a patient that came in to ask me, hey, Dr. Nguyen, I'm wanting to consider weight loss surgery. I want to know what the pros and cons, should I do it, should I not? And so after evaluating him, I talked to him and I said, hey, you know, if we could maximize your lifestyle change. In other words, after you have weight loss surgery, you still have to have a lifestyle change. You got to eat right and exercise to maintain that weight loss. Because with anything, you could be on a weight loss program or a surgery or whatever. You lose the weight, but you'll gain it right back if we don't change your lifestyle. It's kind of like a set point, like your thermostat in your room, right? If you set it at 80 degrees and you open the door, the temperature will go down if it's cold outside for a little bit, but then the thermostat, its job is to increase the temperature to average it out to 80 degrees. And so same way with the body, you could like go on a diet, like, you know, HCG diet and Weight Watchers and all these things, you lose a bunch of weight. But then if you don't change that lifestyle, your body's going to want to go back to that thermostat, meaning we're calling it a set point. Then once you go back, then you're going to gain the weight back and you gain more. So the way to lose the weight and keep it off is to change the set point. And changing that set point includes by changing your lifestyle. That could be eating right, exercising, and then, you know, we could add weight loss medicine or whatever that plan is. And weight loss surgery is a changing of a set point. So weight loss surgery can be beneficial in patients that would meet the criteria. In other words, you have to start the lifestyle change first. So after the surgery, then you can continue on with it. There's a lot of different type of surgeries that can cause problems afterwards, though. So welcome to ask me more of those questions, and that would kind of go into different detail of different type of surgeries. But a lot of the weight loss surgery, though, after the surgery, a lot of the patients will have vitamin D, vitamin deficiency, like B12, vitamin D, a lot of problems after the surgery also. So usually what I'll do with my patients who want weight loss surgery is that for them to change their lifestyle, and if they're able to lose that weight, then they don't go into surgery. And so talking about that one patient of mine, he went and he lost about 40 pounds and he said, Doc, my diabetes are better, my cholesterols are better, so I really don't think I need to go surgery anymore. Those are kind of like some of the cases. Some cases where they doing a lot and they lose a good amount of weight, but because they're like 500 pounds and they are only able to lose 50 or 100, there's still a lot to go. And then surgery could play a bigger role in that. So that may be those patients are a good candidate. Sorry, talk nonstop there. So answering your second question was talking about chronic diseases. People have diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol. So I had a patient that came in to see me about maybe a year and a half ago when we first started opening. And she said, Dr. Nguyen, I have been to multiple doctors, and the doctor's just, every time I come in, he doesn't have time for me. And he's always see that my sugars are high, and my A1C is 12, and which is very high in a diabetic. And he just keep adding insulin. And I keep telling him that it's not working. It's making me gain weight and my sugars are not being controlled. But he doesn't really listen. He just doesn't seem like he has time for me. And so I'm just really tired of it. I don't know what else to do. And so she comes in, she starts crying with me. And I said, okay, let's do this. And she was like, I am determined to do anything you tell me. So that I could get better. And so I actually did not increase her medicine or anything. What I did was just really, so she was on 2 blood pressure medicine, 2 cholesterol medicine, and a lot of insulin, like 130 units of insulin or something like that. It was a lot. And she was very obese. And so I said, okay, well, if we're going to make some lifestyle change, I put her on a low carb diet, I helped her start counting her carbohydrates, counting her protein so she doesn't feel hungry, explain the disease process of obesity. And then she starts to understand that, she starts the lifestyle change and work with me. So I adjust her medicine over 6 months, she was able to lose 40 pounds and she is no longer on insulin. I mean, we were able to get her off of insulin completely. Her blood pressure was so good because she was losing so much weight and eating right. We got her off of her both of blood pressure medicine. And then her cholesterol changed tremendously. So currently she's no longer on blood pressure medicine, no longer on cholesterol medicine. And she's lost like now, I think a total of 60 or 70 pounds. And she is on like a GLP-1 inhibitor, which helps stimulate, continue with the weight loss. It's not insulin, but help with her appetite also. So she's doing amazing. Just mainly the big thing was lifestyle change. And then our program works with her. She goes to our physical therapist for like exercise regimen. And sometimes I actually meet her in the gym and work out with her and kind of train her on a few things. So some of the stuff that we do, it's pretty life-changing for our patient, but also life-changing for me, as in I really see the difference that our program can help our patients. So it really fascinates me as a physician also.
Yeah, I mean, you solved a lot of problems there. Diets don't work, so just change the set point. I mean, it sounds like the key there starts with compassionate care. I don't know if you've read, I think it's called Compassionate Omics. I just started reading it. Somebody told me about it, but I mean, that seems to be at the core of what you guys are doing. I'm curious what trends, I guess you see quite a few patients, like is that, I guess the trend of all these diabetics and hypertension, is that what worries you the most of, I guess, the population here in DFW, or is it something else that you're seeing?
Yeah. So unfortunately, our obesity, overweight population has been growing tremendously. And I mean, since I was in residency, I think we were at like 60% or something, and now we've grown to 75%. And, you know, we've, it's in the 70s or six, so I don't know the years, but back then when we had that low fat craze, we were, you know, we thought that fat was the problem that causes weight gain. And so we changed, you know, our eating style and, you know, cutting back the fat and putting in a lot of carbs, and our weight still has an issue. I think it's in this past year, it's been plateauing a little bit, but in the state of Texas, we still have a lot of obesity. And with that is that the obesity, the eating habits, the lifestyle changes, I mean, the lifestyle that we have is what's causing us to have diabetes, cause hypertension and causing all that heart disease and stroke and all that stuff. And depression actually is also from eating poorly, increasing inflammation. And then poor eating habits like sugary stuff causes increased inflammation, also cause chronic pain. So people with like joint pains, arthritis, anxiety, all those things could be changed by eating better, changing the way that our lifestyle is. Exercising increases in a lot of the endorphins and causes us to have better energy. So I think there is a huge issue in the state of Texas and in the DFW area. But if we could teach our patient to pick the right food. You could still eat out. You could still eat at Chick-fil-A or McDonald's or whatever, but you just have to pick the right food from the menu, like eating, you know, the patty instead of eating the bread, extra bread that's on top, like a bunless burger or breadless sandwich or something like that would be a start to getting better health.
Yeah, that is a problem for me since I ate the entire bread basket last night, but we won't go into that. So what sort of treatment, or how is treatment influenced by the model that whatever physician is set up in?
So in our model, we follow our patient very closely. It's because we have the time to. Our physician is capped at in a fee for service and like a tradition where I used to work at, we have a lot of patients.
Yeah.
So there was no thousands of patients that we have to follow, I mean, see. And so there's not much time to follow up. So like you said, 5-10 minute and they're out of my office and I got another patient in. So we see like 30 patients a day. There's no time to be able to follow up or remember what did I do with that last patient. Here our panel is a lot smaller where a physician is capped. And so therefore, our our clinical staff, we have a lot more clinical staff helping us. Our MAs and our nurses help us. So we follow up with our patient. Like, for example, a diabetic patient or obese patient, I follow up them up every 2 weeks or every month if I need to. If the patient's blood sugar is really bad, in a fee-for-service world, we can't get them an appointment within 3 months. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody whose sugar is really bad, you need to follow them up sooner. And so with us having such close follow-up, we're able to change our patient's health much, much faster and much more efficient. So, and help them to, because say somebody that is having a weight problem, right? You start them on a program and start them on weight loss medicine or whatever it is. You don't follow them up for 3 months. The body gets, they get kind of tempted at the end of the month. They're so gung-ho out when they walk out of your office. Right. But at the end of the month, there's like birthday parties and all these things, or Thanksgiving coming up and all this. They will eat all the can and then they'll gain the weight back if you don't follow them up within that month. And you wait for like 3 months later, they've lost a lot at the beginning, but then they gain it back. So that means that's why our program is that we follow them up really closely for diabetes, for hypertension, for weight, for a chronic disease illness like heart failure or anything like that. We follow them really closely so we can manage the disease and treat them for it. And so that's one of the reasons why I was able to get my patients off of diabetic medicines, off of hypertension medicine, because I follow them up closely and checking on them. Where is their blood sugar? When can we cut back on their medicine? Are they having too low blood sugar? Do we need to cut it sooner? You know, so those kind of things. With our model, we are able to follow them up closely enough, therefore able to treat the disease much, much, much efficiently.
Yeah, I mean, all of this sounds really amazing. It also sounds super expensive. If I'm a listener, like what does this cost? Like,
so it actually only costs $125 a month for an adult. Okay. And for kids, it's only $60 a month. Really, if you count it out, it's less than I don't know if I could say this out here, but less than a lifetime fitness gym membership. And this is your health, you know?
Yeah.
It's really only a few dollars a day for your health. And you have access to your doctor 24/7, meaning you can call them at any time. Just imagine you're having a stomach ache and you're thrown up and you're dehydrated and you have to go to the hospital, to the ER. That's like a few thousand dollars.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's your 1 year membership with us, you know, and you can pick up the phone, call us. I mean, we do home visits too. So, I mean, it's a bargain for just $125 a month. And I mean, all of the procedures that we do in our office, there's no extra cost. So in other words, if you have your kid have a laceration or yourself or accidentally cut yourself or something like that, we could sew you up and there's no charge to it. If you go to the ER, that's like a few thousand dollars already. So, I mean, that's kind of the way our model is that we take care of our patient as a whole. So, I mean, throughout the whole year, I mean, it's, what is it, like a thousand something for a whole year? But I mean, one ER visit, you're over that cost already. And we could really prevent the ER visits. And then we even do IV fluids, which a lot of urgent care doesn't do. So, I mean, for the young people out there, if you're, you know, to party too much the night before and just really super dehydrated, you know, we can pump you up with some fluid the next day.
Yeah, for sure.
But not only that, anybody who's sick, we do IV hydration as well.
And a bread basket.
Yes.
So how do you even have a life if somebody's able to call you 24/7? Hopefully there's a few of you guys.
Yeah,
there's got to be pretty demanding.
Well, there's two of us, myself and Dr. Fabella, and then our clinical staff also kind of help out a lot. If it's just like some of our patients like decided to text us at midnight for a medication refill or something, my nurse will take care of that. That can wait. So we do have an automatic for the non-urgent stuff. But generally, if it's my patients that call me in the middle of the night, that means they truly need it. And I would not want them to call anybody else but myself, because I know their history, I know their medical condition, and I know how to manage them. So I'd prefer to treat my patients if it was like midnight, 2 o'clock. Now, our patients is because we take care of them. So like during the day, if they're sick, we take care of right away already. So there's only a few that, you know, have like a midnight crisis or something like that.
Yeah, hopefully you're not getting too many of those calls.
there's not too many, but if there is any, we definitely want to be the first to be called instead of for them to go to the hospital, ER or anything like that.
Yeah. Awesome. Who would you say this is best for? I mean, we've picked on, or we talked about a couple different groups, but I mean, is this good for somebody with a family or somebody that has a lot of medical issues or somebody that doesn't go to the doctor very much or kind of across the board?
I think, you know, I think our model is pretty fascinating. So it is open up to everybody and everybody could very well benefit from it.
Yeah.
But, you know, like for employers who are self-insured, I think this would be something really nice.
Absolutely.
To offer to the employees. It's only $125 a month. It's not like, you know, but it, we offer so much with that. So I think self-employer is great now. And then some of our patients who doesn't have insurance, this would be something nice to have now. Or those who have like high deductible plan, this would be also good because, you know, they have a high deductible plan. Going to a doctor, you know, for a regular visit is already like $300. So
yeah, that's
for,
a couple for months.
Yeah. And then and the deductible generally is at least $5,000. And so for us, the whole year is only $1,200 or something like that. So is very, very low. I think families is actually really good. A small business owner, like my brother, he is owner of a few restaurants. He said he bought insurance for his family was $3,000 a month for the family. And for our membership as a whole family, however many kids you have, it's only $325 a month. Okay. And you get quite a bit.
Same cost in 1 month as a year membership.
Yes, absolutely. And then you get like, you know, we get flu shot as part of the membership, you know, tetanus shot as part of the membership. And if like any patients who need joint injection or anything like that, or steroid when you're really sick or whatever, it's all part of the membership. There's no extra cost. So our membership covers quite a bit of things.
Yeah.
So.
And it's my understanding Clear Fork is opening soon.
Yes, I believe January. Yeah, probably December or January. It's in the process of building. So we probably end of December or beginning January is the coming date. So that's only a few months away.
Awesome. And we can wrap up here with a few questions. So I hear you've got a nonprofit.
Yes. So outside of like DPC, I love my job.
Not busy enough there.
Yeah. I run a nonprofit called Hand in Hand Share Mission. Started in 2015 after I graduated from residency. The reason why I actually went into medical school was actually wanting to do missionary work. When I was 15, I saw this like Operation Smile on TV and I was like, I want to be part of this team. But, you know, being a refugee coming from a family, it was really poor. It was really hard to get into med school. But somehow I weaseled my way through and made it here. So in 2015, we did a first mission trip to Vietnam. We did a scouting trip to the orphanage and the disabled home and whatnot. There was only a few of us, but we came back. We found that we need a lot more than what we were able to give, and so we formed a team of people. And it was about 20 of us with dentists, doctors, and hygienists, and physical therapists. So we went back over there. Now we've been back to Vietnam a total of 7 times, and this past May we've treated about 3,000 patients.
Wow.
With really in the remote area with no medical service, poor dentistry, and we serve the orphanage and the nursing home too. So if any doctors or dentists or hygienists or and that's listening out there and that's are interested in being part of our group, we will be going to Vietnam in May, at the end of May, May 30th to June 9th for another mission to serve the really poor community. Not only that, but our organization also starts doing mission here in the U.S. We find that there's a lot of people with underserved and stuff like that. And so just this past weekend, we did a local mission event at the church for people with no income, no insurance. So we did some medical services, dental services. We saw about 500 patients in one day. So it was flu shots and stuff like that for the poor. So that's kind of the other niche that I do. So I'm pretty busy.
For sure.
Most of that time.
A couple questions there. Like if somebody wants to donate or what does the nonprofit need? Like, where can they find you guys?
We do have a website called hhmissions.org. Please visit there. There's all the videos and the pictures of all the missions that we've been to. And if you want to join or donate to us, that would be wonderful. We do support. There's three things that we support on our mission. That is education, clean water system. So we've put in a total of about 7 water systems in the past 2 years for the children to have clean water so they don't get sick. And then we also provide scholarship for the children to have an opportunity to go to school, to have an education so that they can build up their communities. And then on the medical side of things, we provide medical services, dental services, but we also educate the caretakers in Vietnam, like the brothers and the nuns and stuff, so that when we leave the country, they continue with the mission. They continue to serve the patients, especially those who have diabetes, hypertension, that can continue to provide that. So if you have any spare change or cut back a cup of coffee today, please go to our website at hhmissions.org or to our Facebook, which is Hand in Hand SM. So it's at Hand in Hand SM on Facebook. We also have our videos and all that information on there and post our next mission on there. So if anybody is interested in going with us, that would also be great. We also take donation of toothbrush, toothpaste, you know, Tylenol, vitamins, toys for kids. So any old dolls or stuffed animals that your kids no longer play with, we will take that as donation too. Message us on Facebook or send us a message through hhmissions.org, and we would love to receive those things.
Yeah, I will make sure and put that link in the show notes. All right, we can wrap up with this question. I mean, this is obviously a very demanding schedule. How do you yourself stay healthy?
Oh, so I am also, you know, when they talk about if you, you got to walk the talk, right? I think that's the way they say it. They walk the talk. So I actually try to go to the gym. I do my strengthening exercise. So I myself step on the body composition, realized that when I was young, back then, as a girl, I always thought, you know, you just do cardio and abs. Those are the two things that you go to the gym for to make sure you stay slim. And so, but after I step on our body composition, I realized that my arms are very skinny. I don't have much muscles as compared to my peers. So then I started doing weight training now. So I do my arm, my bicep and tricep days, my shoulder days, my leg days. And so on the weekdays, I go to the gym. On the weekends, I usually will jog with my dog or go hiking to get my cardio in and biking. So I try to be healthy, as I could tell to my patients. And then I try to eat a low carb diet. So I mean, I'm not restricted on everything. There's a birthday, I'll still have a small slice of cake. But then that means that week I'm eating good. Yeah. So try to cut back on the carbs and snacks on like beef jerky and nuts and stuff at my desk instead of like cookies and candies. So try to do what I can because, you know, you gotta be an example for our patients. So,
yeah, I appreciate you coming on. I definitely learned a lot and can't wait to see what my executive physical looks like and all the different changes I need to make in my lifestyle. So I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate it.
Thanks for giving the show a listen. Please do me a favor before you stop listening. Subscribe on whatever platform you're on. If you loved it so much and you've already subscribed, share this episode with a friend. Thanks again, and I'll see you next week.
Matt McGee is an employee of Frost Insurance. All opinions shared by Matt or guests of the Healthy Conversations podcast are solely their own and do not reflect the opinions of Frost Insurance or Frost Bank. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for insurance, banking, or investment advice. Healthy Conversations with Matt McGee is brought to you by Straight Up Podcasts.